may be seated. Now, the praises and the prayer concerns. In your bulletin, there are listed there the homebound, the military personnel, and concerns for family and friends, and the medical, which we have had several in our congregation who have had surgeries and recovering now, so please continue to remember those and pray for those daily. We want to remember the family of Adam Stewart, which passed away yesterday, and it's friends of Becca and Ben Moore, so she called me and let me know of Adam Stewart's passing away. Also, remember the family of Laverne Self. Her funeral was on Friday. I officiated that in VV. She's a member of the Brushy Fork Baptist Church, and I was called to officiate that funeral service for Laverne Self. So remember her. That is Wyatt Self's mother, Wyatt and Michelle, that are members here. So please remember that family. Any other prayer concern? Yes. Removal of the portion of the sidewalk that is not used, and to level that out for more grass and drainage. So yes, thank you, Alan and Danny and the Whites. I don't see him, but thank you. Appreciate that. Yes. Yes. Anita Norris. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy.
Also on the prayer list, Donna Houston, for those of you who don't know, she's had shingles on her face and her eye. So Alan said, Dwight said yesterday, they think she's past the, made it over the hump, but still a lot of nerve pain. So just remember them, because that's so painful, and I can't imagine being it on my face.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be Donna Houston. Remember her as well. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer, asking God's blessing upon our service today and our prayer concerns and those just mentioned. Father God, we come to you lifting up the name of Jesus this morning, thanking you for your blessings and bringing us here this morning to worship you and to fellowship with one another in your name. And we thank you for each one here. And we thank you, those who have returned from being at home, recovering from surgery, And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those listening today. And I know there's always needs, even though we don't hear of all of them. So those may be unspoken this morning. We lift those up to you as well. We ask your blessings upon this service. We pray for your leading of your Spirit. We welcome you in our service, Lord, always in our lives, to help us understand your goodness and mercy and how you want to work and live through our lives. And we are to work out our salvation day by day, living and serving and witnessing for you. Now, Lord, we lift up our nation, our leaders. They all need our prayers. Lord, they need your guidance. And it's our responsibility as your people to pray for one another. We pray for our nation and our leaders, and we pray for our schools and our students and faculty. And Lord, all of those, Lord, that maybe we're unaware of. But Lord, you know who they are, and we want to include all of those. Maybe that's unspoken, and Lord, that maybe come to our mind later. But Lord, you intervene through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you, and you will hear our prayer. Bless this day, this service, and all the churches around the nation who are worshiping and serving you this day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, Sandy and Crystal is going to be playing "We're Marching to Zion," a perfect selection for our special this morning, since it's been going along with our messages from Isaiah. Marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God, which is where? Jerusalem. Yes, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for that. We're marching to Zion. And we are. We're on that course. And Isaiah is helping us stay on that course, reminding us of what's taking place in our world today. Our message this morning is the ministry of Christ. In a few minutes, when I start reading, you'll understand why it's the ministry of Christ. But it's also in Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 3, which I'll be reading. You can also read the same words from Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, which when Christ read this scripture, he was pulling from Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 3. So follow along with me as I read this morning. Again, this message is the ministry of Christ. Beginning with verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, Jerusalem, giving them the garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness. Oaks are strong. So strong in righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Looking at this passage of scripture here, this beginning of chapter 61, we finished up with chapter 60 last week, but looking at the Messiah servant, which is Christ, he was appointed to bring the good news of God's salvation to mankind. And you and I have heard it throughout our life. It's a wonderful message, and this is one of Jesus' first messages as he was handed the scrolls, and he was seated, and he began to read. And he read from Isaiah chapter 61. So he would be empowered by the Spirit of Yahweh to minister the accompanying blessings of salvation also. The salvation that we hear and we need to hear and the world needs to hear every day. Just not on Sunday, but they can hear salvation from you and I as we present the good news, the gospel, to those that we know, those within our world, which is our community. Wherever we go, that's our world. Wherever Jesus went, that was his world. And he had the whole world. He died for the whole world, just not a few. So the Messiah's most powerful instrument for ministry would be the proclamation of the word, which is very important today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So his work and his ministry will establish righteousness and result in the exhortation of God. And that is the ministry of Christ. So, not only does this passage state the mission of Christ, it also relays the mission of the church. And we have a huge responsibility. We're reminded when Jesus was giving the disciples the final instructions of what's going to be taking place at the moment that he ascended into heaven, that the Holy Spirit would be coming and would be taking his place as he ascended back to the Father. And the Spirit if he didn't ascend back, then the Spirit wouldn't be coming to replace him here on earth to dwell among us. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things that we have done, the things that we have done on a regular basis, the things that I've taught you about the kingdom of God. They needed to hear that. Everyone needed to hear that. We need to hear that today, and we need to share that as well. So believers are to identify with Christ also. So the church and believers who form it are to identify with Christ's redemptive ministry, his redemptive purpose in this world today. So these verses, these three verses that I just read, not only reveal the determined ministry of Jesus, they reveal the mission that the church has strived to follow and to fulfill. And Jesus said that I have come to fulfill everything that God has related to me to share while I'm here on earth. And then the Holy Spirit will help you to do that after I'm left. That's why Jesus said, you have a greater work to do, to accomplish, that I am ascending back to heaven. So, first of all, let's see the ministry of growth. And that could be also be a being or becoming, growing in Christ in our spiritual life. So when Jesus was 30 years old, began his ministry, he walked into a small synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, and he was invited to read the scrolls. That scrolls was Isaiah chapter 61. And he found this passage before us in the book of Isaiah and proclaimed his first message from it. Now in verse 1, all three persons of the Trinity are mentioned. The Spirit, the Sovereign Lord, and the Messiah. All three are mentioned in this passage. Now I won't read verse 1 again. I read it just a moment ago, but to help you understand what Christ is leading us and through his message here, it's important for us to understand that having predicted in preceding chapter, which was chapter 60 from last two or three sermons from that, the blessings that Zion will enjoy, Isaiah now, prophecy of the one, Christ, who will bring those blessings, the Messiah, or Isaiah's suffering servant. Isaiah, the suffering servant, you go back chapter 53 and you can read about that, where Christ came into this world that he might suffer for the sake of you and me. That he went to the cross and he died for our sins. So, these words that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what Christ said. The Spirit of the Lord has fallen and anointed me to prophesy the message that you need to hear. The world needs to hear that I have come into this world to be the sin sacrifice for the world. And these words that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me cannot be dissociated from the memorable scene at Jordan when after the Lord's baptism, the heavens opened up, and the Heavenly Father said, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. So the Spirit, like a dove, rested upon Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful example for you and me to follow after our salvation experience, walk into the waters of baptism, and be baptized just like Jesus, and hear those words as well. This is my good and faithful servant. I am well pleased. And everyone who's ever made a profession of Christ needs to follow through with baptism, the immersion the burying oneself under the water, as it shows the remission of sin, the washing away of our sins. So after Jesus' anointing, he went into the wilderness. He went there for 40 days, 40 nights, and he was tempted by Satan. The same Satan that tempts you and me today. And we had to be on guard. We need to put on the full armor of God each day. Just not part of it, but all of it. And there he was tried and tempted, such as no man has been before or since, and had come forth triumphant, because he followed the will of the Father who is revealed in the Word of God. He used Scripture when he was tempted against Satan. You know, if you're tempted on a regular basis, daily, we're going to be tempted daily, especially in our weaknesses. Use Scripture. And then tell Satan, get lost. Get gone. And he has to follow that command because we are a child of God. Don't forget that. Get gone, Satan. Get away. Don't bother me. He'll leave, but he will come back at another opportune time, just like the Scripture says in Luke chapter 4. After the temptation of Jesus, Satan left, but he was going to come back at a more opportune time. When he finds us at our weaknesses, but we still can say and use Scripture in our defense and say, get behind me, Satan. So when we look at these passages of Scripture, even 40 days of the fierce temptation imaginable could not deprive Jesus of God. Holy anointing. Because Jesus was anointing. And he did what the will of the Father commanded him to do. He was faithful in all ways without sin. So Jesus was ready for spiritual ministry, to be on mission with God. You know, when we prepare ourselves and we read Scripture, see, we're always prepared for the ministry of God to go out and proclaim, just like Jesus did, being faithful, being caring for other people. So then he went to Galilee and stood up in the synagogue of Nazareth and announced the anointing he had received and what his ministry would be because of the anointing of the Spirit of God in his life. What a marvelous prediction that we find here in the mission of Christ through his church, the church that we serve in, to the world during this present age. What an opportunity that we have, especially now with everything that we experience and hear every day. So many people are being so deceived, they got spiritual wax in their ears or something, and they're not hearing clearly and not reading the Scriptures to see how God's prophecy is being fulfilled every day. And I tell you what, as Christians, we need to be in the Word. We need to be aware and know what is taking place in our world today. Because what is happening today is what's being prophesied right here in Isaiah and all through the Scriptures, that Christ will be coming back soon. Now, I'm not saying today or tomorrow, but soon. Soon means future. And we don't know. But we need to be ready, be prepared. So we will not be caught off guard when he comes. But that is the gospel, that we make known to the world about the prophecy that is being fulfilled each day in our lives, and pass that on to others, because we don't want other people to be caught off guard. You know, there's three things that we need in this world that we need to let people know about. That we love Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And we want to see them make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And the third thing is that we want them to be in heaven with us one of these days. Those are the three things that we need to make known through the gospel of Jesus Christ that the world may know. You know, some of those people may be a family member, a friend, or someone like that that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior. And we need to make that known to them. Now, so we know that man is so fallen and helpless that he needs the entire Trinity. And you've often heard me say that the Trinity of God is active, very active. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're always active. They're always busy. They're always doing ministry in our lives, in the church. And the Lord God, the Father, me, the Son, the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So, the Spirit being the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So, since we are gifted, how many of you are gifted here today? When you got saved, you got gifted, right? I mean, you've had talents all your life. You was born with them, but then you started using them, and you use them today, and praise God, we hear and see the witnesses of our talents used every Sunday here in our service and throughout our ministry. But we are all gifted and empowered by life and for ministry by the same Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one hope, one baptism, all of these things. And it's all under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And why has God so anointed us? Why has He? Think about it. He has anointed us so that we might bring good news to the afflicted, those who are lost, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, prisoners of sin, prisoners of Satan. So that's what we are. That's the ministry of growth. Now let's look at the ministry of mercifulness. Verse 2 gives a reason and the season of our proclamation of such good news, which says, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Well, what's the vengeance of the Lord? Well, when the Lord comes back, there's going to be judgment. Judgment of the world, of the lost, those who rejected Him through all their life. But for those who are saved, those who mourn, those who are afflicted, those who have that know Christ as their personal Savior, will have a new life. They'll have a new beginning. And that's what we need to be proclaiming in our lives. So the reason the Lord Jesus might proclaim such liberty is the same reason we should also. And we can, we may, and we should. I'll put it out that way. It is the time of grace, a favorable year of the Lord. So how can God, a holy God, grant such grace? Well, pretty simple. The answer is that the work of the servant, going back to chapter 52, and the suffering servant, starting around chapter 52, verse 13, through chapter 53, verse 12. It tells us why Christ came into this world, and we need to read it. So, by Jesus dying for us on the cross and making payment for our sin, then rising in the power from the grave, we can receive the grace of God. You know, you get the grace of God every day. Do you know it? We get a good dose of that every day. And that mercy that goes along with it. And our sins can be forgiven and our way of living can be transformed by the grace of God. In the middle of verse 2, Jesus stop reading after the word favor. Or I might translate that a little bit different, favor or grace. And that's in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. So why did Jesus stop reading at that point? Why did he stop? Because the day of vengeance of our God doesn't take place until his second coming. That's when it takes. That's when the vengeance and that's when the judgment takes place at his second coming. Jesus knew even as he began his ministry that he was involved in a two-phase ministry. Coming first as the suffering Savior before he would return as a conquering King. He's coming back one of these days as a conquering King, showing victory over Satan, over sin of this world. At least 2,000 years stand between a year and the season of mercy of the day of vengeance. 2,000 years. And this time for repentance had been lengthened since God desires not a single person die without knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the lost person should turn and live after they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They should. So in Jesus, the first advent, he did the things mentioned in Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 2. And in the second advent, he will do the things that's mentioned here in the latter part of verse 2 through verse 3. That's why I call it the two-phase mission of Christ. So when he returns, he will bring judgment on unbelievers. Micah chapter 5, verse 15, and Revelation chapter 19, 15 through 20 tells us about what's going to be taking place then. All of the Old Testament that prophesied about God's vengeance and his return and his judgment is mentioned in the first two verses in the latter part about him being victorious in his coming back. But here's the good thing. As you look in this latter part of this scripture, verses 2 through 3, the Messiah will also bring comfort. He will bring comfort. Israel, for she will have to undergo the persecution, the great tribulation in preceding years, and that's Daniel chapter 7. And then Revelation chapter 12 talks about the tribulation. So it's a great source of comfort to anyone who is oppressed. Know that the source of the oppression of power will be broken and one day get exactly what is deserved. So those who mourn for their own sin, according to what Isaiah is saying here, for the reunion and the state of Zion, which is Jerusalem, we hear comforting words from the Lord. Their true Messiah, the Messiah that's been proclaimed through all generations, but not always accepted, but rejected. Always looking for the Messiah, but he's already come. He has come. So even more, they will be comforted by him. They will have another opportunity, but sadly, during the tribulation, the great tribulation. All right, there's a third thing, which is in verse 3, the ministry of surrendering. The ministry of surrendering. In verse 3 is an illustration, expansion of what has just been said, namely what the form of God would do. He will bring comfort. I want to read this verse again. To grant those who mourn in Zion, Jerusalem, that's the city of God, Jerusalem, the Zion, the one that Crystal and Sandy just played a while ago. It was so beautiful. That was so beautiful. giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, so that they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and he may be glorified. God's going to be glorified. And we need to glorify him. He gets all the credit for everything in this world. Even though we have to endure some of the hardships and things in this world, we still got to give God glory because he's in charge. He created everything. He has a stamp of approval or disapproval on anything in this world. He's not sleeping. He knows exactly what's going on. And when we as a nation, we as a people of God, wake up, we'll better understand that prophecy is being fulfilled. And we're a part of that. And be glad that you are. And when the Messiah returns, great change will take place for believers. It will. God's word specifically states those in Zion or those in God's house are going to get God's special, and I say special attention. But they're God's people. We're God's people. God will console those who mourn, according to verse 3, by changing because believing Israel, sadness to joy, and a truth. Isaiah mentioned frequently. He mentioned it frequently. So there would be no mistake. In the place of ashes, put on one's head as a sign of mourning. Even 2 Samuel. Samuel talks about that. Daniel chapter 9. So they will wear a crown, a headpiece of dignity as he replaces mourning with joy. That's the way it's going to be. All this bad stuff and all this things that we're experiencing will be turned to joy, especially because God's presence and he makes it happen. Isaiah, I'm not going to read Isaiah 43, 1 through 7, but take time to do that today because it is a praise for Israel's redemption. Isaiah turns into a praise because he knows how God is interacting and working in their lives. And it's mentioned back then, but there's a lot of things that's taken place since from chapter 43 to now that Israel's not doing, and the world and the nations are not doing. But here in Isaiah 43, 1 through 7, it's a praise for Israel's redemption that is coming, that God's going to offer the comfort, not only to the nation or Zion or Jerusalem, but to God's people of this world. Praise is powerful, isn't it? It makes you feel good, right? And it's the right thing to do. And it's the right thing to do when we give praise to God. He likes to hear it. He wants to hear it from us. He deserves to hear it from us. And no matter what difficulties we face, singing praises to our God can dispel our hopelessness and bring us encouragement. And every one of us needs encouragement, don't we? Because every day, sometimes we just don't feel good, right? We don't feel like praying, or we don't feel like singing, or we don't feel like praising. But you know what? When you don't feel like doing something like that, then that's when you need it the most. To praise, to prayer, to pray. To do all the things that we know we should do and to glorify God. When we don't feel like it physically, emotionally, or spiritually, that's when we need to do it, what? The most. So that's why Christians should have a song of praise in their hearts. Have it right here in your heart. We must literally clothe ourselves in praise. Every morning we decide what we wear, right? Every morning you get up and you decide what clothes you're going to put on. Well, when you get up in the morning, decide that you're going to do what? Praise God. Put on the garment of praise. Don't put on your physical garments without putting on the garment of praise. You'll feel a whole lot better about yourself. You know, there's not a whole lot these things can do for you other than make you look better, right? Or keep you safe, right? And warm, and all of those good things. But the garment of praise would do miracles for you. The Hebrew word, tetelia, means to sing praise. That's the Hebrew word for to sing praise. And it is used in Psalms 22, chapter 22, verse 3, where it says, God inhabits the praise of His people. He inhabits the praise of His people. God manifests Himself in the midst of cheerful singing. That's why we sing, because it's cheerful. It's uplifting. And anything that we do to glorify God is uplifting. God likes to hear it. We need to hear it, and we need to practice it in our lives. The greatest result of what the servant Messiah would do is that His people will be oaks of righteousness. That's what verse 3 says. The planting of the Lord, such lives will display God's splendor. Our lives will give God's splendor. So as we look at the conclusion of our message today, the ministry of Christ, following the vengeance of the tribulation, that's coming. It's coming one of these days. God will comfort. That's what the scripture says. He will comfort. He gives beauty for the ashes, the oil for the jewels, joy for the mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what I'm pulling from right here in verse 3. A garment is something that you can put on or you can take it off. That's the way praise is. You can put it on or you can take it off. You can decide to slip it on or you can cast it off. It's a decision we have to make every day. It's a lot better to get up in the morning with the attitude of praise than the attitude of negativity, being negative. When your spirit's heavy, when it's heavy, start praising and worshiping. Do that. How you do that? You speak praise out loud. You sing songs of praise. And that is a form of worship to our Lord. He loves to hear it. And it will lift your spirits. See, the garment of praise or the spirit of heaviness, one of those two, guess what? It's our choice. Which one sounds better to you? The garment of praise to me. It will lift your spirit and it will help someone else. It'll even go a little bit further than that. Do wonders for this world. Let us pray. Our Father God, we lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the message that Isaiah, the proclamation that he shares. And these being the words of Jesus as he pulled from Isaiah 61 from Luke chapter 4. One of his first messages. Letting people know why he came into this world. And the good things that are to come for those who are his followers, believers, those who are Christians. But oh woe to those that do not accept Christ, that reject him. vengeance and judgment in the tribulation. No one wants to be or should want to be a part of that. So your message to us here today is to proclaim the good news as you came to do, and you lived it each day, your Son, Jesus Christ. Even when he was tempted, 40 days, 40 nights, he held true to the gospel, to the mission, to the ministry that we are all part of right now. So Lord, help us to be more faithful and true, and help us get up in the morning with praise upon our lips, the right attitude, the Lord, that we can help, just like Jesus, change the world. And if there's anyone listening today that doesn't know you personally, oh Lord, they can, by accepting you as their personal Savior. Let your Holy Spirit work in each and every one of us as a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always active. Active means that's a verb, active, in action. Each moment, each day, we should be active in our servant service to you, in our faithfulness to you. Lord, thank you for the invitation that you always give, and we give it today as well. And may we respond to your invitation. May we make a choice to praise you daily. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation now. May we stand. Words will be on the screen. And I'll be here at the front to pray with you, talk with you, whatever God's leading you to do this morning. You come as we sing. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here today, and God's blessed upon you this week. And don't forget our prayer concerns and needs, praying for each one of those special needs. And the announcements we made in youth, don't forget about the harvest party today. I know it's going to be fun. And all the other announcements. So thank you so much for being here. And share the gospel of Jesus Christ as we've been commanded to do here in Isaiah chapter 61. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, Marty, would you close us in prayer, please?